Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. We're live from the Republican National Convention in St. Paul, and this night belongs to John McCain. He likes small town hall meetings, but on this night, the ex-fighter pilot, POW, and senior senator from Arizona steps into the arena for the biggest speech of his life. Last week, Barack Obama electrified a packed stadium in Denver. Last night, Sarah Palin rocked the Republican House in St. Paul. Now, it's up to McCain to make his case for the White House. This hour, On Point, John McCain's moment. You can join the conversation. What's the message you've heard from the GOP this week? What do you want to hear tonight from John McCain? Can he get your vote? Can he lock it up tonight? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We are going to hear a lot of voices this hour, and Republicans right off the bat. Joining me at the XL Center in St. Paul, where John McCain will speak tonight, longtime GOP leader and colleague of John McCain, Utah Senator Orrin Hatch. Senator Hatch, thanks for being here.
Well, nice to be with you, Tom.
And with us, Republican Congresswoman Heather Wilson of New Mexico's 1st District, representing Albuquerque and more. Congresswoman Wilson, thank you very much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Orrin Hatch, you know John McCain very well. What do you think he's thinking right now?
Well, I know John. He's not even concerned. I think he knows that he can get out there and say what has to be said. John's a very solid, dependable, strong, very strong-minded human being who really stands up for what he believes. And he's basically conservative, but he's also a maverick who can bring both sides together. He's proven that over the years. And I think John is probably just excited to be able to get out there and tell his side of the story because... Let me tell you, he'd make a wonderful president.
Let me ask you about something that your colleague, Lindsey Graham, very close friend of John McCain, has said in the last day. He said that his message tonight will be a blunt message for fellow Republicans. He told the Washington Post it'll be, wake up, we're a party in retreat, we need to regroup, change the way we are doing business.
That's John McCain. That's the John McCain I know. He gives us all hell all the time. You know? But I'll tell you one thing, John is the kind of a guy that if he says he'll do something, he does it. He's the kind of a guy that even if it costs him, he'll do it. He's the kind of a guy who is really heroic in the Senate as well as in his life as a fighter pilot POW. I mean, nobody doubts that this man will stand up for what he believes is right. And, you know, he's against high taxes. He is for a strong military. He's for good judges. I mean, you go right on down the line, and John McCain, I think, is in line for pleasing almost every American who thinks.
Congresswoman, is the Republican Party ready to hear a message like that? Lindsey Graham says again, wake up, we're a party in retreat, we need to change the way we're doing business. Are Republicans ready to hear that from their candidate for president?
You bet. John McCain is a reformer. He's always been the kind of iconoclast maverick, and he's chosen a vice presidential candidate who's also an outside of Washington person. And the good thing about him is that his life isn't about just talking about these things. It's about doing these things. Sometimes there are things that I don't agree with him on. Yeah. The reason that I support him so strongly is because I think we need a strong commander-in-chief. And on national security, he is the man for this time.
Senator Hatch, the Democrats' convention last week, a lot of talk about a split between Obama supporters and Clinton supporters. 37% were behind Clinton last week or going into the convention. But here's a poll from, looks like, CNN. 38% of Republicans wished they had a candidate other than John McCain. I mean, the Republicans have long been divided on John McCain. What about now, at the end of this week, this convention?
Well, John's a true blue conservative, and you know, let's face it, he has caused some angst among some Republicans, but they're all coming home. I was interested in Rush Limbaugh today, calling him, for the first time really speaking favorably since he got Sarah Palin. You know, he goes all the way to Alaska, as far away from D.C. as he possibly can, to get another fellow maverick who clearly, I mean, I had people today, I mean, Joe Biden said today, well, she didn't say anything of substance. Oh, let me tell you something. I asked a number of governors, I said, have you ever met any governor that has accomplished as much as she has in her 2 years so far? And to a person, they said, no, we haven't. That's amazing what she's been able to do. You think about it, she took on her own party. She took on the oil cartel, beat them. She took on ethics reform. She brought a pipeline, did that. She has vetoed all kinds of bills, saved $500 million, got rid of the state plane, got things back to normal so that real people realize that she's doing something. You know, you talk about substance. Substance is doing the things, not just talking about them. And that's what I like about John McCain. That's what I like about her.
Congresswoman, but Americans look around. You know how many people think the country's on the wrong track. The Dow today down 340 points. Another one of those scary days. Unemployment numbers up, pushing that down. Jack Abramoff sentenced to 4 years in federal prison today. You know, that hasn't been a pretty history recently. Republicans in power under George Bush for 8 years, and most of that in the Congress as well.
Well, the Democrats are now in power in the Congress.
That's right.
But the two people who have shown the ability to take on the establishment and do the right thing no matter what are on the Republican ticket.
That's two. That's but right. What about the rest of the Republican Party? Will they really come in behind these two in a reforming message, or is that going to hit a kind of a stone wall?
I think that
we've talked with Republicans in Alaska who have not liked Sarah Palin.
Well, that's because Sarah Palin rolled over them.
You
don't expect the people who got rolled over to like being rolled over.
Will Washington like it anymore?
Among the rank and file, mm-hmm. they are hungry for that kind of reform, clean up government, do the right thing kind of message. I think it wasn't only that Governor Palin sold the pretty executive jet. She put it on eBay.
That was great.
She has a way of connecting and getting right down to the brass tacks, and in the same way that John McCain has. I think she reinforces his strength as a reformer.
Orrin Hatch, Charlie Cook says today in the National Journal, if every Republican in America votes for John McCain, that still wouldn't be enough for him to win. He also needs the lion's share of independents and some Democrats. How does he win all the Republicans plus those other two?
He's going to get most all the Republicans, especially now that Sarah Palin is with him. That has really energized the party, has energized him. But John has always appealed to the independents and a whole raft of Democrats as well. I know I've had support across the board, too, because there are some of us who really have worked to try and bring both sides together. And I've got to admit, that here's something a lot of people don't realize. I've been in the Senate for 32 years.
It's a long time.
There hasn't been one day where the fiscal conservative point of view has been a majority in the Senate. There are always five or six or seven, liberal Republicans who will go with the all-liberal Democrats. And we've won some things when we've had strong presidential leadership or we've been able to really take it to them. But we have to face that every time. And to get any really substantive thing through, it's going to take 60 votes. We've never even come close to that. The closest we ever came to having a majority, a real fiscal conservative majority, was in the last Congress when we had 55 Republicans in the Senate and only 45 Democrats. But when you take away the five or six liberal Republicans, the best you could say was 50-50. So that's what a lot of people don't know. But a lot of people, as Heather has so aptly pointed out, they still think that the Republicans control the House and the Senate. No, the Democrats have, and we haven't gotten a doggone good thing done hardly at all in these last 2 years. They don't know how to lead. They don't know how to get things done. They are constantly fighting
You had Congress for a
windmills,
long time.
You know.
Will John McCain knock it out of the park tonight? Does he need to, or is this a different kind of candidate who maybe doesn't give out of the ballpark?
I don't
speeches.
Think he has to knock it out of the park. I think he has to be John McCain, and I don't think you have to worry about that. He's going to be John McCain.
No matter what.
Yeah, no matter whether you like it or I like it or not.
I do think the bar is different for John McCain tonight, because for Governor Palin, there were a lot of people who had never seen her before, never heard her speak, didn't know who she was. So this was a real seminal moment. People know John McCain, and so this will be an important speech for him, but it won't be a make-or-break speech for him.
Congresswoman Heather Wilson of New Mexico, thank you so much for being with us. And Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah, thank you to you both for joining us.
Well, we're grateful to both of you. I can't tell you what a pleasure it is to be with Heather Wilson on this program. She's a terrific, terrific leader, terrific person.
Hey, next-door neighbors there. Thank you very, very much
for
being with us. We're in St. Paul. It's John McCain's big night. Fred Tice, WBUR political reporter, has been on the floor of this convention hall all week long. Fred, give us a sense of what's down there. They're not going to be in a stadium tonight. It's in the arena. They've moved the podium on out into the middle of the floor, sort of like George Bush had 4 years ago in New York City at Madison Square Garden. What's been the mood on the floor of this arena at this convention?
There's been two moods. The first half of this convention was a very subdued mood, great contrast with the Democratic convention.
Just the hurricane days?
It was not just the hurricane. Before the hurricane, it was already, there was a sense that this was just somehow going to be a very tepid convention. And then last night, everything changed with Sarah Palin's speech. Everybody was off their seats. The men were saying, America's fallen in love tonight. The women were standing up, at least the ones from the northern states, when she talked about being a hockey mom and totally, completely identifying with her. And that mood has carried on through today. There's just tremendous feeling of optimism now that I did not sense at all at the beginning of this week.
We heard they shifted delegations around to get more women on the floor, more women right in the front seats to cheer on Sarah Palin last night. What kind of anticipation have you heard of John McCain tonight?
Well, there's sort of two camps. I would say most of the delegates that I spoke to today want to do what Senator Hatch and Congressman Wilson were talking about, which is that John McCain should just be himself. And they want him to deliver the message that people are used to hearing. They want him to deliver the message of country first, which is the theme of this convention of national security. But there is a minority of delegates who say, all right, the whole country knows about this already. We know John McCain's history. We know that national security is a big theme. But we need to hear, so that we can persuade our neighbors to vote for John McCain, we need to hear the bread and butter issues. The talk about the economy, talk about jobs, talk about energy.
Get specific, down to brass tacks, they're saying.
Exactly.
And maybe John McCain will give them some of that tonight. Sarah Palin last night, more dukes up introducing herself and going after the Obama-Biden ticket.
Yes, and I don't know, the delegates tonight really want to hear, I don't think they really want to hear too many attacks on Democrats. They really want to hear either the message on the old message of national security or a little bit more varied message with the bread and butter issues.
It won't be long. We'll see what they get. Fred Tice, WBUR political reporter, thanks for being with us. We're looking at John McCain's big night. You can join us, 800-423-8255. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, live from St. Paul, Minnesota, and the Republican National Convention. It is John McCain's big night. We're looking forward to McCain's speech tonight and the big choice ahead for American voters. You can join the conversation. What do you expect to hear from John McCain tonight? What do you hope, want, need to hear from McCain? What's the message you've heard from the GOP this week? And is it pulling you toward McCain Palin? Why? Is it sending you the other way? Why? We're at 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. John McCain last Saturday, just after announcing Sarah Palin as his running mate at a rally in Western Pennsylvania, spoke about why he wants to be president.
I'm running for president to make government stand on your side, not in your way. I spent the last few months looking for a running mate who can help me shake up Washington and stop the corruption and clean it up.
And last night, coming on stage after Sarah Palin's big introductory speech, McCain couldn't resist asking the crowd one question.
Don't you think we made the right choice for the next vice president of the United States?
Questions all week long, but not many in that hall last night. Joining me right now at the Excel Center in St. Paul, Jonathan Kaufman, political editor of The Wall Street Journal. Jonathan, good to have you with us again.
Thanks, Tom.
David Marks, senior editor at Politico. David, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
And Stephen Hayes, columnist at the Weekly Standard Magazine. Stephen, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Let's look at what's going on this week. Stephen, first to you. How do you think it's gone for the Republicans? What do you think John McCain needs to deliver with tonight?
I think if you look at where Republicans were on Sunday, facing Hurricane Gustav, facing the potential cancellation of multiple days of a convention, there was talk that John McCain might postpone the convention. When you look back and you look at all of this and you see that they missed basically one day, they had, I thought, two strong speakers on the what was, in effect, the first night in Joe Lieberman and Fred Thompson. And then they had, I think, a very good night last night, obviously, with Sarah Palin and the rave reviews that she's won. So I think they've had a pretty good convention, all things considered.
You know Dick Cheney well, and maybe by extension George Bush. He wrote a biography of Dick Cheney, the untold story of America's most powerful and controversial vice president, Cheney. How hard can John McCain kick the president and sitting president and vice president tonight to reach out maybe for independent and Democratic voters and disenchanted Republican votes and get away with it?
He's got to be careful, I think, especially in this crowd. I mean, the last thing he wants is the crowd to sort of turn on him. But what I expect John McCain to do, from talking to people who are involved with preparing the speech, is essentially to do this, make this kind of same arguments that he's made on the campaign trail. So he'll be a different kind of Republican. He'll talk about climate change. He'll talk about his reform agenda. He'll talk about the ways in which he is not your typical Republican. I don't think he'll shy away from that, and I don't think it would be effective if he did. But as you point out, I mean, you know, to a certain extent, he's got to be very careful about how much he kicks the president or if he goes after George W. Bush aggressively.
David Mark, I'm looking at the polls here. What have we got? It's 61 days to Election Day, 2 months as of today, September 4th, November 4th, 4th. Latest Gallup tracking poll shows Barack Obama leading McCain 49% to 43%. Charlie Cook says in the National Journal, if every Republican in America votes, that would still not be enough for McCain. If he's going to win, he has to get the lion's share of independents plus pick off some Democrats. How does he do that? What do you think he has to say tonight to begin, or maybe more than begin, to make that happen?
Well, he's got to walk this kind of straddle the strange ideological line. He's got to play to the party faithful tonight, talk about cutting government spending, trimming taxes, but he also does have to play to those independents. I think we'll hear a lot about his talk of reform, the way he phrases it, maybe even his time working with Russ Feingold on campaign finance reform a few years ago back in the Senate. Maybe the federal government's response to Hurricane Katrina a few years ago. I think he'll talk about making government work, not necessarily expanding government.
Jonathan Kaufman, you and I sat a week ago on this night at the Invesco Field, the big Mile High Stadium in Denver, and of course the big crowd was gathering there for Barack Obama. Think for a minute about the challenge that Obama faced then, the challenge McCain faces tonight, and what you've seen in this intervening week, Jonathan.
Well, in a way, it strikes me a little bit like it's watching this heavyweight prize fight. You know, just when you think one of them has landed a devastating blow, the guy kind of rocks against the ropes, comebacks out, and they start swinging again. I think everyone thought after Obama's speech, and the polls reflected it, that he had done extremely well. He had been very specific. He had been very serious. He looked very presidential. Mm-hmm. McCain sort of suddenly comes out and does the unexpected. Name Sarah Palin. It's a real roll of the dice. It wobbled for a couple of days. Now it looks like maybe, you know, it's going to turn out to be a very smart choice. And I think, you know, now McCain's challenge, as everyone has said, is to reach out. I think in a way what Palin has set up is she did the red meat yesterday. She went after Obama. She was galvanizing the base, getting people going. What's interesting is she's galvanized both bases. Not only are Republicans excited, but money is pouring into the Democrats, according to Democratic fundraisers. Mm-hmm. So people on both sides are really galvanized by her. I think tonight what you may see is McCain stepping back and being the bridge builder, being the bipartisan one, trying to say, you know, I'm going to let these other candidates fight things out, but I'm the one who can sort of bring Washington together.
But how do you do that and take on Obama? Let's listen to just a little bit of McCain. On June 3rd, he was in New Orleans, and he mocked Obama's campaign slogan, Change We Can Believe In, and attacked Obama's platform.
It's the attitude of politicians who are sure of themselves, but have little faith in the wisdom, decency, and common sense of free people. That attitude created the unresponsive bureaucracies of big government in the first place. And that's not change we can believe in.
Doesn't sound bipartisan. Hard to campaign bipartisan when you're running as a Republican or a Democrat.
Well, and I think also the other challenge he faces is in dealing with the economy. I mean, everyone agrees that if there were a national security primary, John McCain has won it. Even if you disagree with him, the feeling is, you know, you can see him as commander in chief. But on the economy, which is important, not just nationally, but in these swing states, the Republicans still really haven't come up with a line of attack against the Democrats. The Democrats are clearly focusing on the middle class, on these white-collar workers, on the middle class tax cut. And I think that's one of McCain's challenges, is to come up with specific policies to convince the folks in Michigan and Ohio and Pennsylvania, not the evangelicals, not the people who are in this hall, but those swing voters that Charlie Cook has talked about, that he understands and can resolve their problems.
Stephen Hayes, can John McCain do that? Michael Gerson, former speechwriter for President Bush, writing today about what he called the right address for a rebel, this idea of a rebel Republican. He said McCain needs to get very specific with ideas that may not seem very Republican. He said he needs to announce tonight health care. some kind of sweeping health care, universal rights, subsidized insurance, some kind of sweeping new health care program, or the goal of getting all American electricity from renewable sources within some realistic date, or maybe some guaranteed funding of higher education in return for national service, maybe specific plans for the closing of Guantanamo. Do you see John McCain stepping up tonight with something?
Well,
he goes on to say this. At the end of this speech, voters must be able to say, I have never heard that from a Republican before.
Yeah, I'm not sure it needs to be so bold as Mike Gerson suggests. And I'm certainly of the belief that it's not going to work well here if he comes up and proposes a bunch of additional big government programs, new bureaucracies, things of that nature.
Closing Guantanamo is neither.
Closing Guantanamo is neither. It would be risky. I guess I would, if I were giving him advice, I would say don't do it. You know, he's made his point on Guantanamo.
Right? But is he in a box then to please the audience here and the core that it represents and try and get those independents in at the same time?
I think he is to a certain extent, but I think that we've seen the McCain campaign in what has surprised me. They've been surprisingly effective at sort of appealing to both of those groups. I think one way to do it is to talk about national security. Now, we haven't heard much from John McCain on national security lately. There was the crisis in Georgia. I think people generally thought that he handled it well, that he said the right things. It seemed to give him a boost. And then we haven't talked about it much. We had the Democratic convention. We had a week before that where we weren't focused on it. I think we're likely to see a little bit more of national security come back up tonight. And I think it's a way that he appeals to conservatives in the hall who are grateful for the fact that we haven't been attacked again and give credit to George W. Bush. And when I interviewed Senator McCain a couple weeks ago, he was talking about credit for the fact that we haven't been attacked again. And he specifically mentioned Tom Ridge. And I interrupted him.
Who speaks tonight along with Lindsey Graham?
Right. He mentioned Tom Ridge and said Tom Ridge deserves a lot of credit for the fact that we haven't been attacked again, and I interrupted him.
Security, yeah.
Right. I interrupted him and was about to say, well, what about George W. Bush? Thinking, I sort of had him. You know, he didn't mention Bush. There's this
weekly
tension.
Weekly Standard snags McCain.
Right, yeah. and before I could even ask him the question, and he said, and George W. Bush gets a lot of questions. And I say that all the time, and he does say that in his stump speeches. So I wouldn't be surprised if in this effort, you know, we've seen him trying to separate himself from George W. Bush, that on certain things, like the fact that we haven't been attacked again in 7 years, he would embrace George W. Bush.
Separate from George W. Bush. Reach out to the base. Did a lot on that with Sarah Palin and now has to reach out further. Let's begin to go to our listeners in Miami, Florida. Nuvia is on the line. Nuvia, you're on the air to St. Paul. What do you think, Nuvia?
Well, I'm looking forward to listening to John McCain this evening to reaffirm what I already know, to listen to a man of character, of decency, of experience, a true hero to this country, something that we lack seeing on television. We almost glorify these movie stars and actors, and we forget about the people who wear the uniform and go to battle for us, for our freedom.
Nuvia, do you want to see John McCain turn the Republican Party in a new direction? And what would it be if you do?
I think he already has. I think just by choosing Sarah Palin and the way that she electrified those who were present at her speech and those who were watching in their living rooms, it was an amazing moment. I feel as a woman, as a single mother, I feel empowered. I couldn't even sleep last night. I was so excited. It was just, I had this joy inside of me. I've had it all day. And I look forward to campaigning for him and helping him win the presidency. I'm just so excited. I've never felt this way.
Nuvia, we've got it. And we thank you for your call from Miami. David Mark, how about it? Sarah Palin. Something new, Nuvia says, maybe if you buy the sort of rebel reformer in Alaska, and John McCain is pushing that hard, at the same time, social values conservative to the max, and she has brought that crowd in like crazy this week. So does she help reach out to the middle, or is she all about cementing the base? Can he have Sarah Palin cementing that base and still be appealing to independents, to Democrats?
Well, it was interesting to hear the caller's enthusiasm. That's something you don't often hear on behalf of John McCain, That's the kind of talk we heard a lot of for George W. Bush in 2004 when he was running for re-election. A real enthusiasm, gut-level enthusiasm. With John McCain, it's often, well, he's the party standard bearer, so we have to support him. If Sarah Palin can truly do that and bring in that element of the conservative wing of the party, sure, absolutely, she's a big help.
Let's get Drew in St. Petersburg, Florida. Drew, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I'm an active-duty naval aviator. I certainly have a tremendous respect for John McCain. I think he's going to have to reach out a little bit more to independents. I think he's going to have to show us a little bit more of that maverick side, push the maverick side, push a little bit of that bipartisan side, maybe a little bit more of the 2000 McCain vice the 2008 McCain.
That is more of the moderate, what, the moderate McCain.
That's right, because I think that Governor Palin has done an excellent job with the red meat appealing to the base speech yesterday. I think he now has a little bit more room to move in just a slightly moderate direction, but not a really strongly moderate direction.
Yeah, Drew, let us get another view on that vein. Thanks for calling from St. Petersburg to Higginham, Connecticut. Jan, you're on the air to St. Paul.
Hi. I think I pretty much would have to echo the previous caller. At this point in time, I don't think I know who McCain is. I thought of him more highly, I think, in the past. Right now, I'm not sure I know what he would do in office in view of the bind he's in, having to cater to the Republican base, but sometimes saying something that is more moderate. I don't think I know what he would do.
So you're wondering, Jonathan, there maybe is the dilemma. He has clearly cemented the sort of values voter, the religious right this week. But what about the people who might have supported McCain before, might have thought about supporting him more recently, but they look at that and say, no, that's not for me. What does he do?
Right, well, I think that's the challenge. I mean, we often talk about the problem Obama has in seeming somehow unformed, and who is he really? I think McCain has the same challenge. The McCain who ran in 2000, even the McCain who ran earlier this year, seems to keep on changing, and I think we'll see again another iteration of that tonight, where he will try to reinvent himself again as a reformer. But I think, again, the problem continues to be that there are so many headwinds against the Republicans in terms of organization, in terms of money. And I think the Sarah Palin choice, while it's played very well here, this election is really going to be decided by, small slices of the electorate, suburban women, blue-collar voters. And it's unclear to me, there have been some focus groups that have been done about Sarah Palin. They liked the way she sounded. They were more impressed than they thought. But are they going to vote for the ticket because of that? I think McCain, in a way, may still end up, even after a good convention, in the same bind he was in before. And again, the one thing we've seen from the Obama campaign is they tend not to panic. They tend to be very disciplined. They tend to be very relentless. They're probably prepared to sort of take a few punches in the arena and then sort of come back again and just keep up with their ground war and just try to grind this one out.
Stephen Hayes, how does he do it? I'm looking here, CNN poll, even on Iraq. 49% saying Obama would handle the issue better than McCain. 48%, but it's funny that they're neck and neck now. You might not have expected that on a national security issue, but there it is with Obama just a little bit ahead. So what does McCain do?
Well, I think John McCain enjoys advantages in the broader national security questions. I think that particular question has a lot to do with the fact that people regard the Iraq war as a mistake. So I think he suffers a little bit that way. But I think I agree with Jonathan to a certain extent. I mean, I think it will be difficult for McCain to come out of the convention and to do, what people have agreed that he needs to do. And this is, in a way, this is what John McCain has had to do since March. He's had to both win independents, and I agree with Charlie Cook, win them in significant numbers just because of the party identification deficit that Republicans face, which is at near historic levels. And he also needs to excite the base. Well, I think he's excited the base. I think you certainly see that people here, I'm usually pretty skeptical when you hear people talk about the energy in the room. It's always something that's, you can't quantify it, so you just say it to sound smart. But I really think there was energy in the room
last
night.
Hard to mistake it here at
St. Paul. Unbelievable. It really was. And, I had people stopping me in the hallways and, grabbing my shoulders, and isn't this exciting? I mean,
but as everybody says, it's not enough.
It's not enough. He still needs to win over independents. But I do think, I'm one of these people who do think that Sarah Palin will do that. I think that people like who she is and like what she stands for.
Sarah Palin, win over independents. We'll come back and look at that and more. We're in St. Paul. John McCain's big speech is tonight. The stage has been moved on out into the middle of the arena. Republicans excited here. All the country watching. Huge crowds watched Sarah Palin's speech last night. 37 million, almost as many as watched Barack Obama. You can join the conversation. Can John McCain attract both the Republican base and the independent voters he needs to win? How does he do both? We're at 1-800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're live from St. Paul in the Republican National Convention. Looking forward in this hour to John McCain's speech tonight in the big choice ahead for American voters. It is John McCain's big night. I've been joined by David Marks, senior editor at Politico, Jonathan Kaufman, political editor at the Wall Street Journal, and Stephen Hayes, columnist at the Weekly Standard Magazine. You can join the conversation. What do you think? After Lieberman and Huckabee, Giuliani and Palin, what does John McCain need to say tonight? With 61 days until the vote, how do you see the McCain-Obama contest now? Is McCain gaining ground? We're at 1-800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Yesterday, John McCain spoke with ABC's Charles Gibson about Obama's longtime opposition to the Iraq War. McCain again suggested that Obama's stance is purely for politics.
I'm saying that what he did was motivated by political reasons. He took the position that he did for political reasons to get the far left of his party's support and win the nomination of his party. And now, incredibly, he still refuses to acknowledge that the search has succeeded.
John McCain yesterday. Today in York, Pennsylvania, Barack Obama was asked what he makes of this week's tough attacks from the GOP convention.
You haven't heard a word about how we're going to deal with any aspect of the economy that is affecting you and your pocketbook day to day. Haven't heard a word about it. I'm not exaggerating. Literally, two nights, they have not said a word about it. They've had a lot to say about me, but they haven't had anything to say about you.
Barack Obama today in York, Pennsylvania. Last week in the stadium in Denver, we looked forward to Obama's speech and reached out to Deputy Chair of the Republican National Committee, Frank Donatelli, to get his view of what was going on there. This week, we reach out to the Democratic National Committee and the vice chair there, Representative Mike Honda. He joins us from San Jose, California, represents California's 15th District. Representative Honda, thank you very much for joining us.
It's good to be here. Hello, St. Paul.
It's good to have you. You've seen the Republican convention this week. You're anticipating, no doubt, McCain's speech, like everybody else who's going to be watching it. What do you expect to hear? What do you think of the message you've heard from Republicans?
I'll be looking forward to McCain's speech, and I've watched Governor Palin's presentation, and I thought she delivered it well, you know, and she read her lines well, and she delivered it with good timing. But for me, it's like reading a good Grimm's Brothers fairy tale, and if you deliver it well, it's a good story, but you got to check out the facts and not believe all the points that were shared.
Republicans
well.
Feeling very fired up here in St. Paul, at least, united in St. Paul. Do you feel like they're gaining on Obama and Biden? Have they made progress this week in the contest, Representative Honda?
I think they made progress in the sense that they created a lot of tension. And also, you know, choosing a running mate, Governor Palin, just came out of the blue. But, you know, you have to give her her due. She's a governor. She's been a mayor of a small town, and she delivered her speech well. But I think the whole thing is, for me at least, the 8 years I've been in Congress, you know, new face, new voice, same lines. The lines and rhetoric of kind of like division and distortion. And you just have to look into what is being said and then analyze it and then come to a good decision.
Is she going to take those white, blue-collar workers that Barack Obama has often said needs to win?
Well, I think that a lot of those folks will be watching and listening, and I think that they're going to be impressed with her. But I think when it comes down to, you know, analyzing everything and drawing the bottom line, what has she done for the small town she was mayor of? What has she done for governor? I think that when they look at what Obama's going to accomplish and what the plans that we have, it's going to be more on point, you know. She said something about, you know, the bridge to nowhere, and she, you know, unless he's going to do it themselves. Well, I think, you know, it bears checking out how much money Alaska was able to accept on these kinds of monies that she said that she would reject. I think that people are going to find that she's accepted quite a bit of the money.
They got the money, if not the bridge.
Yeah.
But she sure had folks on fire here last night. You're not persuaded that'll translate on.
No question about that. I think that she's got her people all fired up. And for me, it was very entertaining.
Mike Honda, Congressman, Vice Chair of the Democratic National Committee, joining us from San Jose. Thank you very much for being with us.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Jonathan Coffin, Wall Street Journal, with us right here. How about the base and the big vote McCain needs outside?
Well, I think what's interesting is, you know, if you compare this to Denver, while there was a drama in Denver about Hillary Clinton and would she, you know, give a ringing endorsement to Obama, there was no question in Denver that this was Obama's convention. It was Obama's party. Obama was the candidate.
Well, early on there sure was. There was a lot of question about Clinton. Well, is it, you know, Clinton, Obama, Clinton?
Right. There was a drama there. What's interesting here to me is that in addition to the sort of the McCain story, there's a subtext of basically Republicans thinking, what if he loses? What you saw last night with Huckabee, with Romney, with Giuliani, with Fred Thompson, now Sarah Palin, is all these folks, I think, beginning to jockey, and we see it, I think, in the press when they come and talk to us, beginning to jockey for position that if they don't win the election, who's going to pick up the pieces? And I think that reflects at some level perhaps a lack of confidence in what's going to happen. I mean, yes, they're putting on a good show, but I think there's also a sense among Republicans that they know this is a tough fight that they might lose. And so you have Fred Thompson giving a great speech and then announcing he's forming a political action committee. You have, you know, Giuliani giving a good speech and then sort of working the press and going around and Huckabee and others. And so I think that while, you know, conventions are about presenting your brand and appearing strong, more so than the Democratic convention, I just sense the ripples of nervousness here. You know, you hear the cheers, but you also sense underneath a sense that, you know what, we may be back in 4 years having to pick another candidate to go against a second Obama term.
David Mark, a gung-ho convention ready to go out and win it, or powerful speakers circling to pick up pieces?
Well, I think the sincerity is there. I think Republicans who are here honestly believe they can win in November. And there's every reason to believe that. Mm-hmm. Polling shows even if Obama is ahead in various national
fully
polls.
Fully within range. Fully
right.
Within
and
range.
You look at swing states like Virginia, mm-hmm. Colorado, New Hampshire, any number of these could go either way. So clearly Republicans believe they can win. Having said that, I think Jonathan makes an excellent point that you have people promoting themselves on the national stage, whether it's Romney again, even Sarah Palin will be in that mix if the McCain-Palin team comes up short this time.
That would be something for the boys to face 4 years from now if it worked out that way. Let's take a call from Darren in Teresa, New York. Hi, Darren. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. My point was, what worries me over the last 2 weeks is, one, the Republican Party stated last week that they were going to make their platform based on what they wanted, not particularly what McCain wanted. For example, McCain stands for states' rights, deciding about gay marriage, and they want a constitutional amendment. The other thing that worried me today about Governor Palin was an article I read today in the news about a speech that she gave stating that for people to pray for a pipeline that was $40 billion to go through Alaska because it's God's will, and then troops are actions in Afghanistan and Iraq being God's will. I'm a veteran of both Afghanistan and Iraq, and that didn't sit right with me. So as an independent, I wanted to get the view on that and hear what you guys had to say.
Yep, Darren, we'll pick it up. Stephen Hayes, how about it? Pipeline is God's will. War is God's will. We've seen the clips of Sarah Palin saying both. Does John McCain somehow get, you know, hogtied to the hard right in a way that may leave this caller, Darren, veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan, alienated?
Well, I think it's a possibility. I mean, I think, you know, we're in the process now, the media are. We've been doing this for a week, combing over all of her positions, all of the things she said, all of the speeches she's given, people who are close to her. I mean, just, I would say, in a more compressed time frame, certainly, than we did with Barack Obama. And I would say, with greater scrutiny than we did initially with Barack Obama.
Of course, he was out there for months and months.
He was out there for months and months, but I think some of the stories that we've seen sort of came and faded more quickly. These seem to be more intense, and that could be just the compressed time frame. Mm-hmm. But I don't think, you know, at the end of the day, I think this is a pick that is likely to work. She has a lot of work to do. What will be interesting in the coming days will be to see how she handles, you know, this national stage. The most important thing that she did last night was to show that she belongs. There was a real question, I think, going into the speech by a lot of people, not just in the media, but by people on the country. Will she look like she's ill-fitting up there on the stage? And if she had, it would have been disastrous, I think,
right from John McCain.
Mm-hmm. But it been disastrous. I mean, I really do think it's not an exaggeration to say that could have cost him the election or helped cost him the election. But she didn't. She didn't do that. She didn't stumble, and in fact, she did the opposite. She did quite well. But now there's another set of hurdles. There will be inevitable interviews. She will have to do the Sunday talk shows. She will have to come on shows like this. She will have to sit down in front of journalists like
us. One by one, yep.
One after another after another. And I think she has, you know, she doesn't know as much about foreign policy as Joe Biden, as people who have been working on it for their entire life.
She cleared the prime time speech hurdle, but there's more to it than that. Let's go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and April. April, you're on the air to St. Paul.
Hi, thanks. This is a comment sort of referring to the single mother that called in, and I think that she should be asking McCain, you know, what's he going to do for student loans? How's she going to put her kid through school? How's he going to support single mothers to afford a college tuition? What's he doing for equal pay for equal work? She's a single mother. She's obviously a woman. She wants equal pay for equal work. I think she should be asking questions that Barack Obama campaign has directly addressed.
April, we've got it. And let us pick up another call on that theme from Brighton, Massachusetts. Pierre, you're on the air.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Good afternoon. I'm calling from Brighton. My name is Pierre D.
Yes, what's your question or comment, Pierre?
Well, actually, I wanted to say that what I'm hoping to hear from McCain in his speech tonight is for him to say to the public what he's going to do about health insurance, because there are so many poor people that are not working. Thank you so much. Well, I work, but there are some that don't work. And these people, they need coverage.
Pierre, it sounds like we got a lot going on there, but we've got your question. Jonathan Kaufman, April in Pittsburgh, Pierre in Brighton, Massachusetts, want to know, you know, more specifically, not just Sarah Palin up there, but here's Pierre's question, for example. What about health coverage for the poor? Do you think they're going to hear that kind of specificity from John McCain tonight, and can he deliver on the spending cuts he's promising and deliver on that kind of need?
Well, I think that's the challenge. When you talk to Republicans, you know, they talk about health care and the idea of choice and not overburdening the federal government. But, you know, all the polls show that on issues, the country is feeling much more democratic, much more interested in a more activist government. You know, Americans seem to want more of a turn towards the center, or even the center left in this election. So it's tough if you're a center or a center right Republican to come up with a set of figures and policies that can deliver both. Can you be both a kind of a Reagan conservative and a bigger government liberal at the same time to deliver these kinds of policies? I think the answer is no, and that is where I think the Obama campaign is going to keep on pounding McCain, saying, you know, show us, you know, where's your beef? You know, show us the programs that are going to help people, that will give health care, that will solve the mortgage crisis, that will get people back to work.
Of course, they'll pound back and saying, Obama, how are you going to pay for everything you're promising the American people? Let's get a call from Fairfax, Virginia, and Patricia. Patricia, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I'm Patricia Mejia in Fairfax, Virginia. I'm an African-American woman who is a strong supporter of John McCain. I have loved him and loved what he stood for ever since he first ran for president. So tonight, I just want to hear directly from him what he's going to do to make what he's been pledging for the last 12 years or so a reality.
And how do you understand what he's pledged for the last 12 years or so? What is that pledge?
You know, he's very focused, in my mind, on having a principled approach to government. So it's, you know, not about party. It's not about politics. It's about what's doing right for the country. So, you know, what I want to see is, you know, show me how you're going to do that in specific.
Let's ask about it on a very specific front here, if I may, Patricia. Here's John McCain, March 9th, this year, talking with CBS 60 Minutes about the Bush administration's justification for the use of torture in the war on terror. 60 Minutes' Scott Pelley asked the big question.
Is waterboarding torture?
Sure.
Yes, without a doubt.
So the United States has been torturing POWs?
Yes. Scott, we prosecuted Japanese war criminals after World War II, and one of the charges brought against them, for which they were convicted, was that they waterboarded Americans.
Stephen Hayes, here's a very specific issue. Could be a break between administrations. John McCain has been very forthright on this throughout. Dick Cheney, who you have written the biography on, well, is seen as having supported this turn toward being very tough in those interrogations, using methods he's calling right here torture. Do you expect a change on this policy? Do you expect John McCain to even look back at this sitting administration, maybe even look for some heads to roll?
Do I expect this tonight in his
speech
tonight?
No, not tonight,
generally,
but looking forward to asking about an issue. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, I think John McCain has made very clear he did it right there. There was no hesitation whatsoever when he was asked by Scott Pelley about whether waterboarding was torture and whether that's whether we'd been doing it. I think he feels very strongly about this. He and Dick Cheney, of course, went head-to-head about, not specifically about waterboarding. I'm told that I interviewed both of them, actually, about their discussions about this very subject. And I'm told that they didn't get into the specific kinds of techniques. They got into more a bigger process debate, whether Congress should restrict the executive branch, broadly understood, in its attempts to extract information. Cheney, of course, thought that the executive branch should reign supreme on these things and on others, as he does. And John McCain strongly disagreed. They had these debates. I'm told they were tough but not hostile. And as McCain said it to me, we agreed to disagree and we moved on.
If he's elected, do you expect blowback to this administration, to officials who might even be in line for prosecution?
Well, no, not if John McCain's elected. I think absolutely not. But we did see that Joe Biden in recent days has raised that prospect, or at least sounded like he was open to looking at criminal charges, which I think I regard that as a mistake at a time when he's trying to appeal, the Democrats are trying to appeal to the center. I think people will not take kindly to that.
David Mark, bottom line, still a gap, eminently within reach, Barack Obama by the numbers. How do you think John McCain's feeling at the end of this week? He's about to step up and give his big speech. He saw Sarah Palin last night. He saw all these speakers in a row. You think he feels like he's closer to his target tonight than he was a week ago?
Sure. I think he'll feel that he's within striking distance of potential victory. I think it's going to be a very close election no matter what. You look at the swing states, Virginia, Colorado, New Mexico, Iowa, any number of others. Boy, they could go either way.
Well, Michael Garrison, former speechwriter for President Bush, saying he believes after the speech tonight, voters must be able to say, I have never heard that from a Republican before. That's one kind of bar that's been set. John McCain coming out later this evening for his big, big speech at the Republican convention. I want to thank all of our guests who've been with us. Stephen Hayes with the Weekly Standard, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Thanks,
Stephen.
For having me, Tom.
David Mark with Politico, senior editor there. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And Jonathan Kaufman with us last week in Denver, with us this week here in St. Paul. Political editor at the Wall Street Journal, Jonathan Kaufman. Thank you very much for being
here.
Listeners, thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.